رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to the Silsila Self-Reformation. Hopefully you've made some good intentions before watching this Silsila. Let's make some additional good intentions. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali." The intention of a mu'min is better than his action. Let's make some good intention that I will listen to the bayan attentively. And whenever I will hear, "Sallu ala al-habib, tubu ila Allah, uskurullah," I will reply with the intention of gaining thawab, inshaAllah. The Holy Rasul, the last Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "Indeed, Allah Almighty has appointed one angel on my grave who has been blessed with the power of listening to the voices of the entire creation. Therefore, whosoever recites durood upon me until the day of judgment, he," meaning the angel, "presents me his name along with his father's names and says, 'So and so, son of so and so, has recited durood upon you.'" Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, how fortunate is the individual who actually reads durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that his name is being called out in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Not only his name, his father's name is also called out in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So not only we should recite durood as much as possible, but also give our children the upbringing. We should also encourage our children to recite durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Because eventually when we die, and they keep reading durood paak on the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, their names along with our names will also be presented in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal give us the tawfiq to listen. May Allah azza wa jal give us the tawfiq to read durood paak in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Islam gives a lot of importance to modesty. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who preached modesty, has said, "Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'batun wal-haya'u shu'batun min al-Iman." Meaning that Iman, meaning faith, has more than 70 branches, and modesty is one of the branches of Iman. Hakim ul-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes, "The true essence of modesty does not lie in the fact that only apparently performing virtuous deeds and acknowledging modesty verbally. Rather, modesty means to safeguard, to protect your apparent and non-apparent organs from sins. Therefore, one shall refrain from bowing his head down in prostration to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One shall purify his mind from riya, from showing off, and arrogance, takabbur. One shall safeguard his tongue. One shall safeguard his eyes, his ears from saying and seeing things and listening to impermissible things. This will be the protection of head. One shall protect his stomach from haram food, his private part from fornication, and his head from evil desires. This will be protection of stomach. The truth of the matter is that the blessing can be attained by the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gracious sight of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam." Remember, modesty, it is such a trait that stops a person from evil deeds. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "Idha lam tastahyi fasna ma shi'ta." If you do not possess modesty, then do whatever you like. Meaning that if you do not possess modesty, then do whatever you like. Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatwani, says, the saying that "do whatever you like" is trying to make us fearful that you will reap what you will sow. If you do bad, meaning perform an immodest action, then you will face its punishment. A noble person gave his son some advice, and the summary of his advice is, "While committing sin, if you do not feel ashamed from anyone on this earth or in the sky, then consider yourself to be amongst the animals. Allama Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala states regarding modesty, modesty is a trait that prevents a person from committing evil deeds due to faith, due to iman. Another author of commentary of Sahih Bukhari, Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated that at times observing modesty becomes fard and wajib, such as observing modesty from haram and impermissible things. At times it becomes mustahab, preferable, such as observing modesty and abstaining from makruh. And at times it becomes mubah, meaning permissible, such as observing modesty from performing a mubah shari, such an action that Sharia has declared it to be permissible. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the environment and upbringing plays a vital role, plays a very important role in spreading modesty. One's modesty develops further if he is blessed with a modest environment, whereas a company of immodest people makes a person immodest, taking the purity of his heart and eyes away. Due to this, a person indulges in countless immoral and impermissible affairs. It is a blessing of modesty that stops a person from committing evil sins and immodest actions. When modesty is removed, then what will stop us from committing evil actions? There are several people who do not commit immodest actions, fearing the embarrassment of being defamed. However, those who do not care about being defamed, such immodest people end up committing every sin, cross the boundaries of morality, and end up being immoral, and do not even feel the embarrassed to perform those actions that are against human ethics. Whereas righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not only an embodiment of modesty, but modesty is embedded into their every vein and every drop of blood. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha states that one day, the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was lying down in his blessed house, and the cloth was not placed on his blessed thigh or calf. In the meanwhile, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and sought permission to come inside. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who had immense affections for Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, called him inside. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu came inside. However, the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam remained lying in the same position and kept talking to him. After this, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also came. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu also sought permission to come inside. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who had immense affection for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, permitted him to come inside. He came inside too, but the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam remained lying like he was there before. The third Khalifa of Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. When he radiallahu ta'ala sought permission to come inside, then the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, got up and sat down and straightened his clothes. Thereafter, he granted permission to Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu to enter. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha states that when they all left, I asked the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what was the reason that my honorable father Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, you remained lying like you were there before? Then Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, but you still remained lying like before and did not even move. But when Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and before he entered, you got up, you sat down and straightened your clothes. Replying to the question of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the distributor of Ni'mah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, shall I not observe modesty from the one whom even angels observe modesty from? My dear viewers of Madani Channel, the hadith that we just listened to mentioned that the cloth was being removed from the blessed thigh. While explaining it, Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yarfan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala states that it does not mean that the blessed thigh was completely uncovered. It can also mean that the kameez, long shirt, was removed from the blessed thigh, whereas it was still covered with the tahban, the lower garment. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, what can be said about the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even the Holy Nabi, our last Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, used to observe modesty from him? He radiallahu ta'ala anhu possessed excellent qualities to the extent that even during the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed away from various evils. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu says it about himself that neither did I ever hum useless couplets, nor did I ever hold a desire for them. I never consumed alcohol in the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, and nor during the period of Islam. And since I have pledged allegiance to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I have not touched my private parts with my right hand since then. Subhanallah, my dear viewers of Madani channel. Imagine what is the state of modesty of the companions of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Then imagine what would be the status, what would be the height of modesty of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would observe modesty more than even an unmarried girl who observes modesty in veil in parda. In the commentary of this hadith, Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yarfan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala states that when an unmarried girl is about to get married, she's made to sit in one corner of the house. In Urdu, this tradition is called mayun. During this time, this girl is extremely shy and observes extreme modesty. She even observes modesty that and is shy from her own household. She does not talk to anyone openly. The modesty of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was even more than that. Modesty is a special gem of a person. Stronger the faith, stronger the iman, higher level of modesty there will be. My dear viewers of Madani channel, the more we are distancing away from the era of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, more we are falling into the pits of illiteracy and immodesty. Though education is going up, people can observe masters and PhDs and bachelors, you can name all sorts of degrees, but unfortunately, as we move away from the time of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, it seems like from the apparent action that illiteracy and immodesty is taking over, along with other evils. The destruction of unveiling, immodesty, and unlawful gazing have brought our society to the brink of destruction and devastation. Ma'adallah. Circumstances have been so severe that those families who observe parda are deemed to be old-minded, are deemed to be from a previous generation. Moreover, they're severely taunted by saying that they do not move along with time, they do not move along with the world. The world is modernizing. But look at them. They're not modernizing. They're still the old-fashioned people. Whereas on the other hand, those who promote unveiling and obscenity are highly acclaimed. On the other hand, those who promote unveiling, those who promote immodesty are given highest status. Those who observe veiled are ridiculed, made fun of. If a devotee of Rasul attends a function of adorning his head with imamah, with the blessed turban, and his face with the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and refrain from unlawful gazing, the poor guy is severely taunted. There was a question that was asked to Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, Maulana Ilyas Qadri Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. And the question was, what is the truth behind the phrase that there should be only veil of the heart? He, Damat Barakatum Aliyah, replied that this is a great and extremely evil trap of shaitan. Moreover, this phrase denies those ayahs of the Holy Quran that commanded one from covering the apparent body. For example, it is stated in part 22, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 33, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَىٰ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and stay in your homes and do not remain unveiled like the former unveiling in the time of ignorance. Under this blessed ayah, it is written in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, volume 8, page 21, that the way the women of pre-Islamic era of ignorance used to remain unveiled, you should not observe unveiling like that. Mufassirin have different opinions regarding to the era of former and latter, the Jahiliyyah, meaning the era of ignorance. One of the opinions is, the era of former Jahiliyyah refers to that period before Islam. During this time, women would go out and reveal their beauty to other men. They would wear such clothes that would not cover their body parts properly. Furthermore, the era of Jahiliyyah refers to the last era in which the affairs of people will be like those of the former people. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi states that the concept that batin, the heart, should be pure no matter how the apparent form is baseless. It is stated in the blessed hadith that if the heart was pure, then his apparent form would have been reformed itself. My dear viewers of Madani channel, generally, a person goes through different stages in life. The first one is his childhood, the second one is youth, and the third one is the old age. In childhood, a person is inclined towards playing and physical activities. In old age, body parts become weak. One faces numerous diseases, and old age is a disease in itself. One gets less inclined towards sins and gets more inclined towards performing worship. Whereas youth is that important phase of a person's life where carnal desires dominate a person's mind. The reason? Because the body organs are healthy during this phase of life. That's why a youth forgets the true purpose of their life and wastes precious moments of their life in the immodest activities. During the blessed era of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a pious young man who would worship abundantly. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would also be stunned upon his acts of worship. After offering Salatul Isha in Masjid, that young man would go to serve his old father. On the way, a beautiful woman used to call him towards her, but the young man would pass through without paying any attention or without even giving her a gaze. After all, one day, falling prey to the whispers of shaitan and invitation of that woman, the young man went towards her with the evil intention. As soon as he reached the doorstep, he recalled the ayah of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 201, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبُصِرُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: indeed, those who fear Allah, whenever a temptation from evil touches them, they become alert, and at that very moment, their eyes open up. As soon as they recall this blessed ayah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dominated his heart, and to an extent that he fell on the ground unconscious. When he did not arrive home quite late, his father got worried and started searching for him. When he came across this home, he found him lying outside unconscious. His father brought him home with the help of other people. When this individual, this young person, regained consciousness, his father inquired the reason for him losing consciousness. Upon this, the young man relayed the entire incident. While doing so, when he mentioned this ayah again, once again out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he screamed loudly and passed away. Arrangements of ghusl were made. Shrouding and burial was carried out the same night. In the morning, when this incident was revealed to Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to his father to condole him. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to the father, "Why didn't you inform us last night? We too would have participated in his funeral." He replied, "Keeping in view your rest, we did not feel it appropriate to do so." He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Take me to his grave." After reaching his grave, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited the 46th ayah of Surah Al-Rahman, part 27. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and for the one who fears standing in the majestic court of his Lord are two paradises. Upon this, the young man loudly proclaimed from the grave, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed my Lord Almighty has blessed me with two Jannah." SubhanAllah. We heard what a great mindset this young individual had, how much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he had in his heart. Remember, shaitan is an open enemy of a Muslim. He tries his utmost to deviate Muslims from the path of righteous people and indulges them into the sins of the society. Every wise person should firmly uphold upon the path of Allah-loving people. Continue his battle against the accursed shaitan, should not fall prey to the whispers of shaitan at all. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we heard about modesty. What is modesty? We've heard about the blessings of modesty, how the companions of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would observe modesty. The issue is that today, one of the biggest factors that is killing modesty is social media. Social media is like a knife that has a good usage as well as an ill usage. But unfortunately, there is more ill usage of social media in our society. The obscene articles and stories and pictures and videos and there's lots of things that are going on in social media. Sins like wasting one's precious money and time, lying, deceiving, blackmailing are rapidly spreading amongst the youth of our society. Unfortunately, it is very unfortunate that we don't stop here. If somebody does send us, or if we come across such an immodest or an immoral videos or photos, we don't stop here. We enjoy it, unfortunately. And then what do? We forward it to our friends for the sake of fun, in the name of fun, for the sake that it will make people laugh. That is not true. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, this social media, if it is used improperly, it is the destruction will lead to many, many harms of the society. One of the biggest destruction of social media is spiritual loss. It is stated on page 33 of the monthly magazine Faizan-e-Madina, October 2017 edition, those who use social media, it is very difficult for them to refrain from sins, especially unlawful gazing, because people with corrupt beliefs and disbelievers also use social media in large numbers. That's why sometimes there is a great risk of common Muslim to fall prey to the whispers and develop corrupt belief or become an apostate. Physical loss as well. Social media accounts are normally accessed through mobile phones and computers. Both of them are harms to one's eyesight. The more you use your eyes to using them, because what happens in social media, you're constantly on your phone, you're constantly on your tablet, you're constantly on your computer, browsing the social media site, your eyes muscles are being used, you're not giving them rest, and you end up weakening your eyesight. Educational loss is another issue. Using time effectively is a key to success in education, whether worldly or religious. There would perhaps not be anything else that wastes more time, such as social media. The same time that you can give to learn the fara'id of namaz, people are wasting it on social media. The same time that you can utilize, if you are about to give an exam for your high school, for your college, for any subject, the same time you're using it towards social media, what will be the eventual result? You will lose time and you won't have time, you won't find enough time to prepare for the test. Social loss is another issue. Although you can contact the entire world by sitting at one place through social media, but this has created distances among your own loved ones. We interact with each other on social media, but we don't even go and say assalam to our own relatives, to our own brothers, to our own siblings. Father, mother, children are all busy using their own social media and posting different statuses on these social medias. Economic loss is another issue of the social media. One spends a lot of money on the internet to use social media. Same time and money could be utilized more effectively in order to strengthen one's position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to appreciate time. This virus of social media has spread so much that before, people used to perform a neki, people used to perform a good deed and would not even discuss with anyone. Then there was a time that came where it was said, neki ka darya miral, you do a good deed and you throw it in a river, meaning that you show off so much that it's not even counted anymore. Now, it is so unfortunate that you do a good deed and unfortunately, people post it on social media. I have given charity to so and so, I have done this, I have done that. Another ill use of social media is, you get to visit the blessed Makkah and Medina. And what do people do when they visit blessed Makkah and Medina? This is the place that we cried so much. We asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want to visit those places. But what happened? What did we do? When we reached the blessed Kaaba, instead of crying and seeking forgiveness for our sins, we turn our back towards Kaaba and we take photos, we take selfies. The place that we all want to go, the blessed Rawza of beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this opportunity to go there. But what do we do? We turn our back to Gumbad-e-Khazra and we start snapping pictures. We start snapping selfies. And then not only this, it doesn't stop here. We actually advertise it to the entire world. We went for Hajj, we went for Umrah, we went to the blessed Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. These are indeed going to these places. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. One is blessed with the visits of Makkah and Medina. And it may be permissible to take pictures, but the love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the respect of Kaaba, the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the respect of Rawda-e Anwar does not allow us to turn our backs to the places, to these blessed places. The respect of these places does not allow us to turn our backs to these blessed and auspicious places. Think 100 times before you do such an action. What I'm doing, is this disrespect? Do I actually need to do? And what benefit am I going to gain when I'm going to post these pictures? Think before you leave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from the destruction of social media. Ameen bijahin nabi nameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Another thing you can do is you can use social media to watch Madani Muzakara, a beautiful silsila of Ameer al-Sunnah. You can watch Madani channel. You can like the pages of Dawat-e-Islami. You can like Dawat-e-Islami English. You can like Madani channel. But just refrain from going those sites. Now if you have this luxury of social media, refrain from going those sites. And if possible, disconnect all social media activities. You will see you will have a lot of time to devote yourself to the prayers, to devote yourself to the worship, to devote yourself in recitation of Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do more worship and more recitation of Quran. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, reform my heart, take my hand.